think of some of the activities that you do every day, talking on the phone, going to concerts, maybe buying the occasional pair of shoes online. If technology experts are right, in a time not too long from now, every one of those activities may very well change dramatically as the world of virtual reality evolves. Sound like science fiction? Well, it turns out that virtual reality has already found a practical use in the world of mental health in helping to treat phobias. WABE's Kate Sweeney has the story.
When you think of virtual reality, maybe you think of video games in which you're immersed in fantastical worlds where you might fly, fight bad guys, or do other things you'd likely never do in real life. When Michael Rosenzweig first donned a VR headset, it was to enter a much more mundane setting, that of an airplane. A place that, to him, nonetheless, provoked feelings of fear.
Rapid heart rate, a little bit shaky, a bit lightheaded, a little dizziness, mostly centered on concerns about turbulence.
This was when Rosenzweig was in his 20s. His colleagues had begun to kid him about being the guy who'd do anything to avoid boarding a plane, like scheduling phone meetings and driving to distant cities to meet with clients.
I eventually got to a point where sometimes, you know, I would get on a plane and then the feeling wasn't quite right, so I'd get off the plane. That's when I knew that I had a real problem.
And it was about then that a friend urged him to take part in a new study trial in town, treating phobias like his with the technology of virtual reality.
I said, absolutely. I mean, because I would try anything. I would try anything.
He signed up for a study in which he would slip on a headset and be immersed in a three-dimensional animated world to try to put an end to his fear. The approach was actually based on one therapists had been using for years, something called exposure therapy. It treats phobias by helping people directly confront scenarios that scare them, traditionally by talking through them or by actually going out in the world and experiencing them.
So, for example, someone's scared of driving, we take them driving. I take a lot of people driving and through Spaghetti Junction.
This is Dr. Barbara Rothbaum, a psychologist at Emory University and one of the nation's authorities on exposure therapy.
It helps teach in their heads, in their minds, and in their bodies, I don't need to be scared of this. I can stay in this situation and my anxiety will come down.
Rothbaum was one of the people who helped pioneer bringing exposure therapy into the virtual world. Because not everyone's phobia can be treated by a spin on Spaghetti Junction. Fears like flying, heights, or post-traumatic stress disorder often require complicated scenarios that are difficult or even impossible to recreate in real life.
You can't take off over and over and over again if that's their biggest fear of flying. And here you can do that. They can take off 5 or 6 times in one therapy session.
That's Dr. Joey Pate, a therapist at a clinic in Atlanta that uses virtual reality in combination with traditional talk therapy. Say you go into his clinic for a fear of flying. The first sounds you'd hear in the small office used for virtual reality treatment are the recorded sounds of a real airport. Like he does with me, Dr. Pate would sit you in a chair fitted with an airplane seatbelt.
Wow, you really do. This is totally the seatbelt that they have on airplanes, too.
And some earphones so you can hear, and then I will talk to you through a microphone over here as needed.
A platform beneath the chair rumbles, seemingly with the feel of an airplane. Once he places the small goggles over your head, you're in kind of an airplane video game. There's the cartoon seat in front of you with the folded tray table. Out the window, you see the runway rolling by on takeoff.
Here we go.
And the city of Atlanta disappearing beneath the clouds. Dr. Pate can control everything, weather, turbulence, and sounds like that little chime the pilot uses to talk to flight attendants. That one. He can even release scents into the room.
Coffee, perfume, fuel. The more senses you can use, the more realistic it feels and the more effective this can be.
That realism is something Michael Rosenzweig wishes had been around back in 2000 when he enrolled in that trial study for his fear of flying.
I found that to be disappointing and I thought highly unrealistic because literally what you saw when you looked through the goggles was cartoon figures.
Sure, back in that early version, his chair vibrated, and he says the sounds were fairly lifelike, but still, at the end of the study,
I thought, very interesting, really glad I did this. This has been of no benefit to me whatsoever.
But that's not the end of his story, because a few weeks after that, he boarded a real airplane.
And we got up in the air, and sure enough, there was pretty significant turbulence, and I was fine.
And he's been fine ever since. He doesn't love flying, but his crippling phobia, that's gone. And here's where things get really interesting, because it could be that the very thing that made Michael Rosenzweig's virtual reality experience feel lame was what made it work. It turns out that the low level of detail in virtual reality used for exposure therapy, it's intentional. That's because, according to Dr. Rothbaum, when really specific details are missing from a fear scenario, our memories fill them in, making them more lifelike to us.
The first time that we used the virtual reality to treat PTSD was in the 90s. We created a virtual Vietnam. A number of the folks who went through that reported, for example, tanks. We didn't have tanks in it. They reported seeing the enemy. We didn't have the enemy represented. Someone reported seeing a water buffalo. We didn't have the water buffalo. So people fill in. When you trigger enough of the fear or you trigger enough of the memory, people tend to fill in the rest.
There's some thunder and, oh my goodness, yeah.
The fake storm Dr. Pate takes me through feels plenty lifelike to me.
The plane's vibrating. And I have a death grip on my microphone.
It turns out this treatment does more than just scare. It works. Studies show that virtual reality exposure therapy yields results just as effective as its traditional counterpart. All this with pretty simplistic imagery and a few well-placed cues, which raises a question. Because there's a new virtual reality technology on the horizon that experts say will change everything. It's called Oculus Rift. This is an advanced new headset planned to be released to the public for the first time next year. Andrew Curry is the tech guy at Dr. Pate's office. His crew designs all of these virtual reality scenarios. And he's super psyched about the ways he says Oculus will transform the experience of virtual reality.
Because it's so immersive. Just that being able to really move your head and the fidelity of that motion is captured perfectly. And then everything feeling like it's right there. It's kind of scary how immersive it can be.
Part of that immersiveness is Oculus Rift's quick response time, which means users report less motion sickness. Nausea is actually a major problem with most virtual reality simulations these days, as if flying in an airplane during a storm isn't bad enough already. The predicted applications of Oculus range from social media to doctor's visits to the ability to virtually attend conferences in faraway locales. Meaning that if Michael Rosenzweig had just waited long enough, he might not have needed to get his flying phobia treated at all. He could have just popped on a headset to find himself in the same room with his faraway clients. No airplane required. As for Oculus's effect on exposure therapy, that'll likely mean striking a balance between the new technology's total realism and the low detail that's already proved to work so well. Kate Sweeney, WABE.